Thank you, Jennifer. And I'm on the Healthy People Curriculum Task Force that helped provide some oversight to the process. And I have to agree, when they received the award, I was wondering how they could do it in that little time. So great work. You hooked us up here.
I did. I was trying to help. Wow,
that's great. And this is how astute she is. She already set up her next presenter, so thank you. All right, so I am... Oh, it started to go ahead.
It's okay.
What happened?
There you go.
Will it stop now?
Hopefully.
Great. I don't want to give this presentation. So Ms. Janice Blake directs HRTP, a public health internship program in the Epi Scholars Program at the New York City Department of Health. She wanted to know whether the internship program that they had started aligned with the competencies needed not just for the interns' contemporary practice, but also how they relate to the interns' preparation for the workforce. So great question. Her team, to answer this question, conducted a self-audit of the 10 to 12-week summer program. Ms. Blake will discuss lessons from the audit as well as the outcomes of the local health department academic collaboration. Let's welcome Ms. Blake to the podium.
Are we still in morning? Good morning, everyone. How are you? Okay. My name is Janice Blake, and I'm honored to share this work with you. I'm honored to serve as the director of HRTP, and I've done so for the last 5 years. Like my colleagues, I have no personal financial relationships. No one gave me anything. Just me, just work, just here with you. And I must take this time to pause to acknowledge Jem. She's our HRTP coordinator, Colleen Humans-Henry, my assistant commissioner, supervisor, and lead cheerleader, the bureau staff, epidemiology, administrative unit, our students, and our academic centers who send their students to us and trust their students with us, and of course my distinguished colleagues at the agency who provides these outstanding projects we'll talk about. So for this presentation, I want to describe the processes used in HRTP. And HRTP is a public health internship program at the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene. We will share insight on how HRTP mapped nationally established public health competencies to its existing practice-based public health training program. For the remainder of this talk, I will use the terms local health department interchangeably with practice institutions. Just a little bit about HRTP. Since 1960, HRTP has provided internship opportunities for future public health professionals. We believe that with careful preparation, local health departments are well suited to offer competency-based experiential learning experiences to future public health professionals. HRTP has 3 sessions per year, one in the fall, one in the spring, and one in the summer. For the context of this talk, we will focus on our summer program, which is 10 to 12 weeks, and for the majority of our students, they're there full-time for the summer, meaning 35 hours per week. HRTP hosts approximately 100 students per year, and approximately 50% of our students are paid by the agency. Though most students who apply to HRTP major in public health, medicine, social sciences, psychology, business, and public administration, HRTP accepts students from all majors and all disciplines. The internship program is open to undergraduates as well as graduate and professional students. And students who apply to HRTP, they go through a little bit of a rigorous process. They have an application, there's an essay, there's a personal statement or an essay, letters of recommendation, we see a transcript, and we see a resume as well. For our summer program, we accept students from across the country. The goals of HRTP are to provide students with, as you've heard today, with real-life experiences in public health. They work side by side with scholars, top scholars in the field. Students work on current and relevant public health concerns. And there are 2 parts to an HRTP experience. One part is a project, and the other part is what we call public health activities. For the project, my colleagues in the agency are invited to submit a project and host an intern. Each HRT project is reviewed to ensure that it advances a public health initiative, project, or research. It complements the student's interest and skills and supports professional growth. To complete the project requirements, we ask students to provide a summary of their work in the form of a paper, presentation, or product at the end of the session. Public health activities include grand rounds, final presentations, meetings, workshops, and mentoring, as well as a summer seminar series. For the most part, again, students who are with HRTP in the summer are there full-time, and they're treated to this public health seminar series. For the fall and spring, it's a little different because school is going on, and we understand that that is a priority. The seminar series is scaled back, very, very much so. The summer experience is quite a rigorous experience, but is it doing what we say it should do, or is it doing what we think it should do? Thus, our research question and this project, the self-audit. So our project, we wanted to answer the question, is our 54-year-old internship program aligned with current public health competencies? We want to provide employees and students who come out of our project, we want to make sure that our MPH graduates, and we're glad to hear that the MPH programs will continue. We want to hear that MPH graduates are coming out and they're armed with these great skills. So our first objective is to describe the self-audit process we used to evaluate the program. So what we did first was we established what competencies are we going to use. And we were very basic. We went online and we reviewed and selected public health reference documents which listed national established public health competencies. We reviewed the ASPPH core competency document and competency documents from various different universities, these documents describing what MPH graduates should know. We also referenced the Council on Linkages core competency for public health professionals document. And we, as noted on the Public Health Foundation's website, which provides a list of competencies divided into domains, which reflect skills that professionals who deliver essential public health services should know. Then we merge these documents into one long Excel sheet, and we call that our checklist. We then, as is common practice, we reviewed each project just to make sure, again, that it advances a public health initiative, project, or research idea, it complements the student's interest, and it supports professional growth. No coffee making, no filing, no copies. Okay. In addition to the project, students are expected to attend the core group of seminar series, our core talks, and we call these topical talks. We have and these are just talks from folks across the agency, as my colleagues have shared today. Folks like to talk about what they do in public health, especially if they're doing it well. They're really interested in sharing that work, and so we invite them to come in and share this with our students in about 30 to 90 minutes over the course of the summer. And we divide it into different topical areas, hopefully creating a scaffolding effect, each topic building on the last topic our students have listened to. And then, though a member of HRTP is usually present at each HRTP event, for the self-audit, we attended the topical talks and documented the competency or the competencies met based on the check sheet, the checklist that we created. And lastly, we mapped the projects in the summer curriculum to establish public health competencies. And again, we checked those off in our little check sheet. And I'm just going to walk you through what this mapping looks like. So this is a real-life project that was submitted to HRTP in summer 2012. It's a 12-month prospective evaluation of naloxone. Naloxone is an injectable used to reverse the effects of overdose. And for this project, the students were to train active drug users or those in the drug-using community how to inject naloxone should there be a place or a time where they are involved and they see that this overdose is going on. So in this project, the students selected for this project were going to pilot and finalize the questionnaire items. When they went out to these interviews, they were going to pilot the questions. They would interview these drug users, these folks that they were going to train to administer naloxone. They helped to conduct the intervention, locate the sample study participants, conduct closed-ended in-person surveys, clean, enter, and analyze data. By working on these tasks or these deliverables, the students were able to practice employing ethical principles in the collection, maintenance, use, and dissemination of data and information, describe public health application of quantitative and qualitative data, interpret quantitative and qualitative data, and use information technology to store and retrieve data. All of these fall under the professional domain of analysis and assessment skills. This naloxone evaluation project was a dual language project in which students were required to have conversational fluency in Spanish. By working on these tasks and deliverables, the students were able to, by working on the task of locating the sample study participants, conducting closed-ended surveys, piloting the final questionnaires, the students were able to practice cultural competency skills and community dimensions. And the levels in there include 4A1, if you're familiar with the core competency documents, I have copies of them if you need to see them. They were able to incorporate studies for interacting with persons from diverse backgrounds. We had one person who was from Maryland who came to New York City for the summer to do this project, couldn't get around New York City, and when she called her folks and she told them what she was doing, she said that she went to a drug den. I'm not sure how well that went off with mom and dad, but that's what she was going on. They wanted to become infused in the communities, so they went around with the community-based organizations to get to know who they were serving and what their target audience was, who their target audience were. They wanted to better understand the drug-using community. For community dimensions, they were able to identify the stakeholders, again, in each community organization or in each group. In each group that they taught, there was a leader in that group. And by identifying that leader, they were able to stake their hold into that group and make the training more valuable. They were also able to collaborate in community-based participatory research efforts. Additionally, HRTP requires that students summarize their work at the end of the internship session. The summary may take on the form of a paper, a product, or a presentation, all skills that we need as public health professionals. Where interns deliver for the presentation, like this one today, students deliver the presentation to HRTP staff, to students, to community partners, or to the work staff in their unit, and to leadership. While preparing for the presentation, gathering the information, and sharing with stakeholders to review, these students have the opportunity to practice presenting demographic, statistical, programmatic, and scientific information used by professional and lay audiences. They were able to practice communicating in writing and orally in person and through electronic means with linguistic proficiency and soliciting community-based input from individuals and organizations. Again, communication skills, all under the domain of communication skills. As a reminder, in addition to the project students work on, they're expected to attend core seminars. And these are just some examples of some of the curriculum items that we have on our list. I think last year we had, 29 curricular items. Some of them are mandatory, others are optional for our students to choose which ones they would like to attend. This session, usually it's topical talks, cover primarily policy development, how the policies came to be, and system thinking, how the city health departments work with organizations and partners to accomplish these goals. For these seminars, students are invited to participate in a discussion about health disparities. These are one of the seminar items. And in this mandatory session, students are provided an overview of health disparities work. At the end of the session, students have had exposure to the professional domains of analysis and assessment and cultural competency. Analysis and assessment because, again, they were able to identify health status of populations and their related determinants of health and illness. They were able to describe the characteristics of the population-based health problem, and they were able to identify sources of public health data. For cultural competency, they were able to describe the need of a diverse public health workforce. Again, based in New York City and having folks that speak 189 languages, we definitely need a diverse public health workforce. Anyone here speak Malayalam? How can a review like this inform, guide, and improve new or existing training programs? To give a short answer, in many ways. First, let me acknowledge a self-audit like this was not easy to do. And it is time-consuming, but practice institutions should work to ensure that training opportunities such as these, such as the talks that their colleagues provide, are infused with the competencies. How can a review program like this guide and improve new or existing training programs? The long answer, the review process enabled us to learn that we, HRTP, and the larger organizations, we're doing great things. While we do a great job in providing supplemental training opportunities and addressing competencies specific to the five core sciences of public health, epi, bio, stats, health policy, social, and behavioral sciences, more work, actually the four core sciences, more work is needed to provide more work on the fifth, which is environmental health. Likewise, we do a great job in providing supplemental training opportunities in some of the interdisciplinary competencies, such as communication and informatics, professionalism, program planning, systems thinking. But more work is needed to address companies related to financial management and leadership. While we are able to assist students to prepare for the world of work in the domains of analytical and assessment skills, policy development, program planning, communication skills, in contrast, HRTP does not often provide exposure, again, to financial planning and management or leadership. Oftentimes, it is it's outside of the scope of our work in the health department, but again, these are just ideas that we can start thinking about how we can do that, or conversations that we can have with academic centers on how we can fill these training gaps. Obviously, it is a balance, right? In summary, practice institutions are well suited to provide competency training for public health and students. To do this, we must stay aware of the competencies and find ways to infuse them into the opportunities that we provide for our students. Both the practice and academic institution must remain alert to the fact that public health internships generally will not prepare a student fully for the world of work. They will not prepare the student fully for the world of work. While a practice organization may provide rich learning opportunities, these learning opportunities will not provide the student with mastery in all the competencies as per the core competency document. As such, academic institutions are charged with staying in touch with the practice institution, where their students may have experiential learning opportunities to stay abreast of which competencies are applicable and which need a little bit more work, and how they can supplement and balance those two things. Similarly, neither practice institution nor academic institutions can independently prepare the public health workforce. Practice institutions may need to adjust their expectations about recent graduates. We understand that they're MPHs, but we have to understand that there's a Tier 1, a Tier 2, and Tier 3, and you may not arrive at a Tier 3. You may have some Tier 1 competency levels, or you may have some Tier 2 competency levels. Again, as a practice institution, I know there was a question earlier about that, the employer, we must adjust our expectations of what a recent graduate may be able to do. Recent graduates, though proficient in many competencies, may not be proficient in others. We choose a concentration. Because of this, practice institutions may need to implement and update on-the-job training programs and to allot time for exchange of professional knowledge between colleagues. Our next steps going forward, this review will inform our work in HRTP. First, we will look to refine this mapping process as a means to identify additional support we may provide in public health in training public health students. As a result of this self-audit, it will also allow us to continue to improve the quality of the public health opportunities we offer to our students, and it provides an opportunity for practice organizations like the Department of Health and Mental Hygiene in New York City and schools of public health to consider and collaborate to further understand the gaps and move forward to training solutions for our public health workforce, not only for now, but as my colleagues have shared as well, but for public health in the future. Again, because my colleagues said, because public health graduate, MPH graduates go everywhere, we need to provide them with this experiential learning experience. We need to make sure, ensure that they have the tools and the skills that they need to do so, and definitely by keeping in touch with a practice institution and an academic institution, discussing what are our gaps in training, we definitely can prepare the MPH workforce for the future of public health. Thank you. Any questions for me? I have 1 minute, I was told. Thank you.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yes, it's Anna Shang from North Carolina.
Hi, Anna.
Is your position funded by the health department? Like, where's the funding for the internship? It's a fabulous resource.
Right.
I didn't understand the funding.
Okay, so we have funding in various different ways. My office is part of the agency, so we are employees of the agency. Our students are funded in a couple of different ways. We ask our programs to pull from their budget to fund the student. We also have some students who come with a funding. Academic centers are more and more so, and we're grateful for this. We're happy to have those discussions where they're putting aside stipends for students who have been selected for unpaid internships. And we have some students who are able to receive college work study, and the agency is an off-site work study site, and they're able to receive their work study grant for work at the agency.
But your position, just to clarify, your position is a commitment by the health department to have this coordination in place.
Yes, me and my staff. Yes, me and my staff of two. We are committed by the health department to do this work. Yes.
Thank you, Ms. Blaine.
Is
there any other story from?
I did.
Hey, Anna Shea. All right. All right. We have 8 minutes for questions of the entire panel.
Temple, we have a couple, and same thing, it's MAP. The students like the fact that it's a transcripted event, but I think some of it has to be what's the purpose of it. So hearing what the workforce needs has to be part of what drives it. You know, we had one certificate program that we pulled and put in abeyance because we didn't have a large demand, and so we kind of went back and looked at it and said, well, what's the purpose of this? Who is it that we're trying to meet the needs for? And we realized we weren't meeting anyone's needs. So I think having that analysis, not just in terms of the competencies, but what are you trying to accomplish for who?
I agree with regarding the certificate programs. I know we've been talking with some local academic centers about that as well. One student did share with me, though, that she was afraid to take the GRE, and she felt that this was a way around the GRE.
Thank you. Another question in the front, please.
My name is Catherine Nolan. I'm in the future, one of the proposals you mentioned was having the practical experience more focused toward the discipline. And that raised the question for me, historically, has that not been the case? Because it seems like in most of the, I'm the practical coordinator, so most people I've talked with, it's already kind of been doing that. So I guess I'm wondering what's the difference.
That's a very good question. We actually talked about that in the panel. I think it is mostly the case that if you're a student and you're in a particular area, you're going to want to get experience in that area. There was some anecdotal evidence that wasn't always the case, and I think we just wanted to say whether it is or isn't, we think it should be. And both the practice and the culminating experience, we state very clearly, should be linked to the area of concentration. That made some people upset and said, well, wait a minute, the part of the practice experience is also applying all the core. Well, yes, and again, if you do the core first and it's foundational, you would build.
I think in the same way, the experience that we had, in the same way that we had issues with getting faculty from the different institutions to come and play nice together, there were lots of discussions with our National Advisory Committee around if you have this content, how does it meet the needs of pharmacy, nursing? And so a lot of it was really the education to break down some of the myths about this is only for this type of student, and this is only for that type of student. And what we found was that over the course of the, at certain points it was this every other week, we were having these conference calls, going through some case studies, and I think that was where it made a big difference. When you were talking about just the educational pieces and talking about the competencies, people were floundering. They were having a tough time seeing the integration. When you talk about real life, that's where we almost backward engineered into what we were going to talk about. People could see what it looked like on the ground, and when you worked backwards into what that would look like in the classroom, that's when we were most effective. So I think it's a big challenge. I think balancing competencies and skills is something else that's really important.
And in the case of our course, I think part of it's student motivation, and even in that context, as soon as we take them into a rural hospital, most of them have never even walked through a rural hospital. It's one thing to read about social determinants, it's another to see it in action and feel how personal it is. And so then, I'm picking on our MHA students because they're greedy. I love them, but they're so greedy. They're going to graduate, make $250,000 running a hospital, and they just don't even know. So I'm reflecting on their reactions, in particular when we walk in, and how personal it becomes. And so that then, I think, starts, you mentioned opportunity, when's the opportunity? This experience, I think, is an important moment for our students as they really refocus and reshift what their professional purpose looks like and what that means in terms of personal sacrifice. I mean, if you're really going to go out and help folks who maybe are less fortunate than you or more underserved, that comes with some personal and professional sacrifice, and what does that look like in relative to what you're willing to give up. But now, there's also opportunity. So one big shock to many of them is, holy crap, I can get how much house for so little money? So it's there's pros and cons to both. And so just feeling it and seeing it and being accountable to it
I think is part of what this learning process has been about for our students.
Thank you, Dr.
I'm really encouraged by what I've heard on this panel, and I think a lot of us in academic institutions are completely fixated on three credit hour courses. I don't know why, I don't know when that commandment came down, but you can deliver content in any size, shape, time frame, space-time continuum, and you can reach students who are in other learning environments, other professional training programs who do care about health. And I think I've gotten great ideas here today, and I hope you have.
Thank you so much. I'd like to respond to that.